from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
What's up, America? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. No, it is not Todd Starnes. He is out for the day. But yours truly filling in here, Andy Hoosier, sitting in for Todd Starnes, for the great Todd Starnes today. On a post-Monday celebration, I say on my radio program, the greatest day of the entire week, my friends. There is so much going on. I'm sure your head's spinning just like mine is. I'm trying. We're trying to stay zen. We're trying to stay in the mode. We're trying to actually focus on what's really important in the country. And sometimes that's just really hard to do. So we'll cover it all in the program today. There's a lot to talk about and a lot to get to. And I want to hear from you here on the Todd Starnes radio program as we are broadcasting out of the Liberty University studios, moving them from Memphis, Tennessee out to Wichita, Kansas, where I'm based out of here. And I want to hear from you. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. What's on your mind today? Bottom of this hour, a good friend of mine coming on the program. He is the communications director for the organization Power the Future, powerthefuture.com, as we talk about oil and natural gas, the energy market. I'm assuming that, as you know, energy prices slightly higher than what they were, three and a half years ago. So we'll talk about that and what the platforms are for each of the candidates going into the home stretch here for election season, 80 days away from the election time. Can you believe that, man? That, to me, is a little bit crazy. So we'll get to all that and more on the program. Again, 901-260-5926 if you want to jump on here. The big news of the day today is, and I don't know if this is much of a shocker or if it's kind of expected while we get closer to this, the Democrat convention is done. It's over. Finito. And all their momentum for the last month has essentially been erased. If you've noticed, for the last month, we've seen the media completely focus on Kamala Harris. It was the announcement of Joe Biden stepping down, ironically, on National Ice Cream Day. Don't know if there's any, you know, any meaning to that one at all. I'm just throwing it out. I mean, the media does like to ask him what his favorite ice cream was. But for the last month, we've seen the stepping down of Joe Biden from the campaign, the presumptive rise to the challenge, the great Gandalf showing up on his white horse wanting to save the day as Kamala Harris appears out of nowhere after being the least popular VP in modern American history, after being the most liberal senator in the Senate when she was there, getting zero delegates in 2020, but now she's here to save the day and be the great savior for the Democrat Party. Makes that announcement. I'm going to step up and take the charge and hold the mantle and rebrand the Democrat Party. Then we saw the announcement of Tim Walz being VP. We had the virtual convention for the Democrats to lock in the delegates. We had the in-person convention just last week. It was all Democrat coverage from the mainstream media for the past month. And I got to say, all of it went right out the window on day number one after the convention on Friday last week, with the perfectly timed endorsement of RFK Jr. and the announcement with Trump's rallies and everything that's happened over the past few days, which we will cover on the program today. But it's been kind of fun to watch all of the air let out of the excitement and the buzz hyping around them. So the question I have for you, it's what's next? What's next for Kamala Harris? What's next for the platform, for the one-on-one interview that she promised that we would get before the end of the month? Not sure if you're aware or not, the end of the month is the end of this week. So are we going to get one? I haven't heard any preview about a 60 minute sit down one-on-one interview. I haven't heard about a press conference that she's set to make in front of the media to take questions and field some questions from them at all. I haven't heard any of that. And now, I mean, I guess it's unexpected, kind of expected, not expected. Kamala Harris now throwing a wrench in the system when it comes to debate drama 2024. And like normal, the media is standing up and trying to defend her, calling out Donald Trump, saying Donald Trump is the one that's threatening to back out of the debate with Harris on September 10th. As here's the headline from Yahoo News, hat tip from Reuters, where they shared that story. Trump threatens to pull out of the Harris debate with the hot mic issue. Now, keep in mind, that's the headline of the article. And then when you actually scroll down and read it, according to the press and the spokesperson for the Harris campaign, they say the vice president is ready to deal with Trump's constant lies and interruptions in real time. Trump should stop hiding behind the mute button. On the other hand, the Trump campaign senior advisor, Jason Miller, released a statement to CNN saying that we have no changes to the agreed upon rules, but did say that they're open to it. As Trump said, quote, it doesn't matter to me. I'd rather have it probably on But the agreement was that it would be the same as it was the last time. So Donald Trump's ready. What did he say? Anytime, anywhere, any place, any way, let's make this happen. And now they're starting to panic just a little bit. Why? There's two questions here. Why are they wanting to change the rules? And why yesterday afternoon was when they actually made this announcement of what they wanted to change? Some say it was a distraction from the record from yesterday.
The reason why we're seeing the Harris campaign freak out at this exact moment today is because today is the third anniversary of the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. The horrific attack at Abbey Gate that left 13 service members dead. We saw President Trump at Arlington Cemetery earlier today laying the wreath and spending time with Gold Star families. And the Harris campaign, keep in mind, they wrote these rules, they agreed to these rules, and now they're trying to swap out these rules like they swapped out their original candidate. But the reason why they picked today to do this is try to distract attention away from Kamala Harris. I think this is really cynical. I think this is just disgusting what they're doing. And keep in mind, Kamala Harris said that she was the last one in the room when that decision was made. Those deaths are on her, and it's shameful that they picked today to launch this attack.
That's an interesting theory right there. That audio hat tip to Fox News, by the way. So was it a distraction yesterday to try and make these rule changes? I think it goes deeper than that. Got to be honest, I think it really goes deeper than just wanting to distract from what yesterday was, which was the third year anniversary of that withdrawal from Afghanistan. An important thing that we need to focus on, but also I don't think that's the depth of it. To be honest, I think that she's sitting in the room with staffers and they're planning for this debate and they're preparing, maybe getting a little bit nervous because Donald Trump obviously is actually taking this one a little bit more serious. I've never heard of him hiring someone to prep him for a debate. And last week we heard the announcement that Tulsi Gabbard would be prepping him for the debate. She also endorsed him yesterday as well, officially. But we already kind of knew that was coming. She's been on the campaign trail with him. She went to Mar-a-Lago with him. It wasn't much of a surprise. It was a nice surprise, but it wasn't much of a surprise that Tulsi Gabbard endorsed Donald Trump yesterday. But she was hired to prep him, and she's the one that completely destroyed Kamala's chances of being the presidential nominee in 2020. So I can see the room here. Let's set the stage for a moment. We're after the DNC convention. The Democrats are looking at what to do for the preparation for this debate. And they're sitting around, and now remember, this is the same Kamala Harris that can't keep staffers, which is why she had like a 90% turnaround over the past couple of years with her vice presidential office, because no one liked her. She wouldn't do any prep. She made herself look foolish every time that they tried to discuss with her. So they're sitting around talking with her, trying to plan out what this debate's going to look like and realizing, I don't think this is going to work out well for us. I don't think that she's going to be able to handle it. She's not going to be able to go toe-to-toe on the fly with the style that we did last debate with Joe Biden back in June. Not going to happen very well. So instead, they say, let's change the rules. Because we could play this as an advantage. What we can do is that we can make Donald Trump look foolish, and we can make him try to interrupt her, because then she can show her authority. Then she can say that, well, Donald Trump's interrupting me, and she can do her kind of mentality, FCC, not approved word, of excuse me, I'm talking here, and then she can try to dominate. Because a very strong woman mindset is very popular for the progressives right now when we have the beta male movement behind them and the strong woman movement in front of them. It's kind of evidence with the ticket, isn't it? Kamala Harris, Tim Walz. The way that they're rolling. So if they can show that Donald Trump doesn't care about women by interrupting her and not being civil with her, then that's an advantage that she has. And that's why they're trying to change it. And if Donald Trump's smart enough and recognizes that and realizes that, then I think we're going to be in a better shape. But I think they're trying to play to the fact that Donald Trump could be off the hinges a little bit and then show that he doesn't respect her as a woman and then use that in the debate. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, it would work for their crowd. But Donald Trump's probably, hopefully, planning on that and going to be smarter. So as he comes out and accepts it, again, remember the headline, Donald Trump threatens to pull out of the Harris debate. And then the team comes on and he messages out and says, doesn't matter to me. I'd rather have it on. Let's do this thing. Doesn't sound like a threat of pulling out to me, but I think the concern's still lingering for some.
If you have any job at all as a journalist, number one job that you have is to demand accountability and transparency from people who are seeking political power. And the idea that she's not sitting down for any interviews, it's not just a media strategy. I think we have to remember that Kamala Harris was basically a national joke until there was this explosion of media propaganda on her behalf about 5 days ago when the Democrats imposed her on the party in the country without having a single vote. And one of the reasons is because every time she spoke off script as vice president, it was a gigantic embarrassment. And in 2019, when she ran for president in the Democratic primary, her campaign was such a disaster that she had to drop out before the first vote was cast, even though she had every strategic advantage in the world. They're petrified of letting her speak without a teleprompter, without a script, because they know that she has no mastery of any of these issues. And she's proven that over and over, and more so, no soul, no real beliefs, fixed beliefs of any kind.
I mean, he's not wrong. That was Glenn Greenwald, a political analyst on Fox News as well. I would have to agree with that. So some of the rule changes that are being considered right now includes having the open mic instead of having them turned off, being able to write down notes because, God forbid, she can't just wing things. She has to actually have pre-scripted notes and bullet points for her, and to sit down. What do we do? This is, I mean, she's trying to script it out kind of like the vice presidential debate she had with Mike Pence a while ago. And I don't know that that would necessarily show authority if she's sitting down. Doesn't she want to be behind the podium and stand up and show her authority of a strong woman being able to stand behind that podium and look presidential and leadership like? If you're sitting down, I don't want it to look like an elementary school classroom like what we saw, in my opinion, in the vice presidential debate of 2020. I don't want to see that. Your thoughts on this? 901-260-5926. Can she handle a debate? Are you surprised that she's trying to cause the drama just weeks before the presidential debate? And are we actually going to see one at all? Because I don't know that we are. I think they're going to hide behind this. And of course, they're trying to blame Trump for backing out of this by changing the rules. After they agreed upon the rules, they want to change the rules. And I think it's not her. I think it's her staffers that are hitting the panic button, where I like to say, hey, Democrats, you might want to cover up your desperation showing just a little bit. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll take some phone calls and a heck of a lot more. Andy Hoosier filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
There's a communist plot to take over America. The new documentary, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, exposes the dark truth.
Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of American students.
America's schools have been turned into Marxist-Maoist re-education centers.
Here's the thing about communism. When it comes knocking at your door, it doesn't say, hi, I'm here to impoverish, enslave, and murder you. It says, I'm here to liberate you from oppression.
You take over the colleges of education, then you take over all the teachers, then you take over all the students, and thus you get the future.
Beneath Sheep's Clothing reveals the communist infiltration of America's education system, churches, and media. Will a political revolution be next? Or will we the people wake up and reclaim our freedoms?
Destroy the opposing country through unconventional methods.
Take America without firing a shot.
Don't miss Beneath Sheep's Clothing. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com.
Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in here for a post-Monday celebration. So great to have you with us on a Tuesday today. So the debate drama continues on. Will we actually see a debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris? Will we actually see them square up and discuss it? Now, here's the thing. When it comes to a debate, is it really a debate of substance and of topic and of issue? Is it really? I mean, we never actually hear anything of substance usually in a presidential debate. They get their nice little zingers. They get their one-liners. They get their nice messages overall just to get their talking points for their social media hits. But I don't know that we actually get anything of substance, especially with someone like Kamala Harris, who right now has a speechwriter from the Barack Obama administration. If you listened to her acceptance speech on Thursday last week for the DNC, it was essentially, let me be clear. Let me be clear. Let me be clear. If you remember, that's all Barack Obama used to say. Let me be clear. And it's very evident that Barack Obama's team is running her campaign right now. So even if we got a debate, it would be the hope and change. It would be the or her slogan. Now we're not going backwards. We're not going back. We're moving forward. That's all we're going to get. Does it actually win anybody over? Will we actually get any topic or substance if we did do a debate? And do you think one's going to happen at all? 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones and let's go to Shane on WDUN in the great state of Georgia. Shane, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, you said she didn't do any interviews, or she hasn't been doing any interviews. in the last 5 days, she did one that's begun to go viral. She did an interview with some small, no-name, left-wing liberal news media group. And the only question they asked her was about how she feels Donald Trump is going to roll back all the diversity inclusion that she's, her and Biden have put into place in the White House. And it, her response sounded like a mixture. It sounded like word salad that she normally does, but after a brunch, bottomless mimosa, you know, the afternoon, and apparently, I don't have Twitter or X, but apparently Drunk Kamala has been trending on X. And this little clip has gone viral. And it wasn't a sit down interview. Just they caught her after her event or something, and they asked her this question. But it's on the reporters to ask the right questions. Even the left wing, even if you're going to be this liberal, let's ask her a question of substance. But nobody can get to her to ask her that except for the no-name group.
Yeah, and they're doing that intentionally. You're right. And here's the question. How long can the media hold out before they get frustrated? It's kind of one of those help me help you, because right now we don't have a platform. We're a week after the DNC convention where she accepted the nomination. We're 80 days from an election, and we still, if you go to her website, still don't have a platform, still don't know exactly what she stands for, which means for us who actually care about some sort of platform at all, we kind of have to fill in the blanks ourselves on what she said in the past, what she's advocated for with her past and her record, and we fill in that blank, which means when she does, if she does at all, do a sit down, she's going to have to go on the defense to try to explain what she's done before. And the media wants to defend her. They love her. This is their golden child. She is the most progressive candidate we've ever seen in our lifetime on a presidential ticket. And I'm saying that even more than Barack Obama, even more than what we saw with Jimmy Carter, even more than even Franklin D. Roosevelt back in the early 1900s. She's the most radical progressive communist we've ever seen on a presidential ticket. And they want to support her. They love her. But kind of, hey, help me help you. Rub our back a little bit. We'll rub your back a little bit. Sit down with us. We'll throw you some softball questions. We'll do an interview with you. And then we'll defend everything that you say and just blow off all the naysayers. So you're right. She's been doing the, you know, I'm walking out and just take a quick question as I walk by. And it's kind of like the Joe Biden, what's your favorite ice cream? And that's not really the substance we're looking for. So, hey, what's Donald Trump going to do to take away the equity stuff and bring back racism? And then she can just go off and do what she does with her slurring and just messaging about whatever she talks about. I can't wait till after the election. And Shane, I appreciate the call very much, my friend. I can't wait till after the election when we can say that we have unburdened her by what has been. Right? Because if we can unburden her from the duties of the vice presidency or any type of leadership position, we can get back to somewhat normalcy in this country. And you know the left's going to absolutely lose their minds because they're doing everything to keep Donald Trump out. But I'm telling you, here's my theory of the day. Put on the tinfoil hat for just a moment. I think the Democrats recognize that they are going to lose. I think they recognize they have a far shot to actually win this in any form. And they're just seeing what sticks. Let's try and set the stage. Let's try and throw whatever at it. Let's go as far left as we can because it'll change the policy conversation. And then once we change the policy conversation, then when we do gain control again, the pendulum swings back the other way. People want a Democrat after a Republican. We go back and forth. We do this thing. When we come back, then the conversation starting point is a little bit further in our direction, which is why we've seen over the past 250 years in this country, we've seen the needle of the political spectrum slowly inch a little bit further and further and further and further to the left. Because they understand the FDR agenda of let's just implement things incrementally to where you don't notice it. What they've done now is they've taken it so far to the extreme that, as Bernie Sanders said in 2020, it's time to complete the FDR deal. We're tired of waiting around. We're tired of actually taking our time on this. We want it done now. They've gotten impatient, and it's kind of imploding in their face. Lots more coming up. It's the Todd Sorens radio program. Stay here.
You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506.
Biden inherited a crappy economy. That's a fact.
Let me address that real quick, because that's often a talking point, and it's completely false. By the time Biden took office, real GDP was back to pre-pandemic levels. In one of the quarters in the last year of Trump, 35% increase in GDP, then 5%, then 4%. You were well on your way to a recovered economy by the time Biden got to take office. That's where a lot of those job gains were coming from. And they were despite the fact that Democrat mayors and governors all over the country were destroying their own cities, destroying their own economies, keeping them locked down more than they needed to, just like here in L.A., just like in California, just like what Tim Walz did in Minnesota. These things all happened. And so if you want to talk about inflation, what causes inflation? Lack of supply, too much demand. They injected a ton of demand, $2 trillion worth in American Rescue Plan, and then they screwed supply by screwing up and closing down factories and businesses. That creates a perfect storm. Republican policies are not responsible for any of this.
Zing! I tell you what, man, that's the way you do it right there. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. I'm Andy Hoosier filling in for the day today. You can find more information about Todd at ToddStarnes.com. That was, by the way, Dan Crenshaw on the Bill Maher show. I believe that is HBO program, I think. And James Carville. So James Carville, this radical Democrat, this political analyst, I say that in air quotes, political analyst, that's just like, Joe Biden inherited a bad economy. We got it back going again. Yeah, okay. All right. This is how we beat the policy. And we're not going to see that, I think, during a debate, because right now, what are we seeing right now? We're seeing grocery prices that are like 3 or 4 times higher, 30% inflation there. We're seeing energy prices that are astronomical. Normally, and I say this usually, normally during election season right now, you would see the economy come back down a little bit, right? You'd see the inflation come down, grocery prices be decent, gas prices at the pump be a little bit better, because normally during a race with an incumbent, they would say, look at what we've done. Look at how great everything is. Look at how awesome the economy is. You need to elect me again so that way we can keep it going. They can't do that. They've kind of already burnt that bridge because they already depleted the oil reserves. They've already gotten rid of everything they could by injecting so much money into the system to lower the inflation and keep it somewhat down. And by somewhat down, I mean that we're still, I guess, for the first quarter in the entire administration of Joe Biden, we've seen inflation only rise by 2.9%, and they paraded around, it's under 3%, we're on the right track. Come on, man. Talking about that and more, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. A good friend of mine, really happy to have on the program here on the Todd Starnes radio show. He is the communication director for Power the Future, powerthefuture.com, as they represent the oil and natural gas industry. Really happy to have on here Mr. Larry Behrens. Larry, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Andy. Actually, I'm not great. My blood pressure was normal until I heard, you know, Carville just spread those lies to everyone. I mean, it just gets me worked up. I'll let you ask your question, but I wanted to talk about James Carville like nobody's business.
Well, let's do it for just a moment, because this is the mindset from the other side, and this is the campaign that they've had. Remember, they've created 16 million jobs. Now, we did see from the jobs report last week that we lost 820,000 jobs in a one-year cycle, which means essentially if we average job growth between 200 to 250,000 jobs a month, which is like the normal of what we hear, that's essentially wiping away 4 months of job growth altogether. But they've created 15 million jobs. They got the economy back on track. We had the second quarter, this past quarter, the first quarter under 3% inflation, so the economy's doing well. Like, this is what they truly believe, and Carville is just the epitome, just regurgitating those same numbers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what I hate. I hate the Carville card. They trot him out every election season because he won an election, 30-plus years ago, and so he's this old Yoda from the Democrat Party, and he speaks in a folksy Southern accent, so he's supposed to be, he's just like one of us. No, he is lying to you. It's really simple. I can give a response that is so quick. What was it like to buy groceries when Joe Biden took office versus right now? What was it like to buy gas versus when Joe Biden took office versus right now? And that's it. If it was going to work, it would work. And so we all know that inflation is through the roof and they want to celebrate 2.9%. They know that that's a lie because that just means it grew less over the last year. Cumulative inflation is up 20%. He wants you to ignore your own grocery cart, your own gas tank, and your own family budget to try to pretend that they're doing a great job. And I love that job creation number. So if I go to a business and I fire 10 employees and I rehire them back the next day, did I just create 10 jobs? Because that's what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are trying to take credit for. And apparently James Carville too.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. If you hire everybody back, then that's obviously job growth. And that is the great of the economy. I watched the trend of job growth before the pandemic and afterwards from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is their graph that they showed. It almost looked like a heartbeat where obviously it was going along the average 150,000, 200,000 jobs a month that we see created, you know, just kind of a steady pace that's gone for a really long time. Then we see the dip down during COVID when we lay everybody off. Then we see this major spike afterwards, bringing everybody back and try to overinflate jobs where we see this uptick. And then it drops back down again because we created too many jobs and tried to put too many people back in the workforce. It drops back down and then plateaus again to that average regular job growth on a monthly basis like every other administration.
It absolutely is. And Americans know that. They know what GDP is because we saw the results when we went about our lives. We know that we are spending at least 30% more for everything right now. I mean, look at American credit card usage. It's up through the roof because we are all trying to make ends meet. And if we're lucky enough to have a salary, it's just not cutting it anymore because everything is more expensive. And it is mind-boggling to me that we have this party that continues to send out surrogates that say, don't believe your own lying eyes. And I have a feeling that's one of the reasons Kamala doesn't do interviews, because they don't want her to have to answer for this. But lo and behold, they send out these surrogates that try to, you know, put this revisionist history on all of us. If the Inflation Reduction Act was going to reduce inflation, then inflation would be reduced. And yet they continued these word salad games of saying, oh, no, it was all he inherited a terrible economy. No, he inherited an economy that was humming and working, took credit for bringing people back to work after they lifted their own lockdowns. And now he wants us to believe that these are the answers for the future. The American people know better.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. We're talking with Larry Behrens. PowerTheFuture.com is the website. You can go and check out everything they're doing. Let's talk about the climate and the energy movements. I mean, Kamala Harris was the person who co-sponsored the Green New Deal, and not just the Green New Deal of like the Inflation Reduction Act, where they try to tie some of that in. I'm talking Green New Deal AOC style, where we need to like rebuild every building in the country to make them alternative energies and get rid of natural gas stoves in the buildings and restaurants and everything that actually Mitch McConnell put on the floor of the Senate as a mockery bill to try and get people on. She co-sponsored that bill. Ironically, Larry in the Washington Post actually made a comment on this just a couple days ago, that on the campaign trail, their echo chamber at the rallies, they haven't talked much about climate change. They haven't talked much about the green energy initiatives that she's all on board with. What's going on here? Is that kind of a concern, like the calm before the storm here? What are they up to right now?
Yeah, it's such a great point, Andy. And that history lesson that you mentioned is absolutely important, because they did. Mitch McConnell brought it before the Senate and the Democrats voted present. And, you know, if the next great novel is Profiles in Present, that the Democrats had that. And now they want to pretend that it's all going as they expected it to. Oh, yeah, no, it's the Green New Deal, and it's working out great. But here's the twofold answer to that. One, they know it's a disaster, and they don't want to claim credit for it. But the part that we should really be paying attention to is how all these environmental groups that are just eager to glue themselves to the road and throw, you know, spaghetti sauce on the Mona Lisa, why are they so quiet? Why are they all of a sudden perfectly fine with Kamala Harris taking a DNC acceptance speech and not mentioning climate change once? Why are they more than happy to do that? Well, because they know that the gravy train will keep going if she is elected as president, or reelected to stay in Washington, we should say. And so their money flow will keep happening. And so they're going to keep quiet because they really don't care about the environment. They care about their money. They care about their little fiefdoms in the bureaucracy, and they care about political power. And so it's not only Kamala keeping quiet about it. It's these people who say this is the most existential threat in the history of the face of the planet. And the fact that their nominee is not mentioning it a whole lot, well, they're perfectly fine with that because they want the power.
It's a very strange situation to watch them be in because, again, as I said before, I mean, we're looking at the most radical ticket we've ever seen in American politics for a presidential ticket between Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. So they've embraced the progressiveness big time. But then at the same time, now that we're in general election, normally they try to shift to the center to try and appeal to as many people as they can, which is not working for her because she doesn't have a platform or do any interviews to talk about what her platform actually is. So she's embraced the progressivism. But then, like, during the convention, they build a fence and keep out their own anti-Israeli protesters while they say Donald Trump's party is the party of Nazis, fascists, and anti-Semitics, which I find absolutely hysterical. And the person, like you said, that supported the Green New Deal, the AOC version of a Green New Deal, completely goes MIA. You would think that if you've created the rabble-rousers for the environmental wackos and the extremists on that side of the aisle, that you would embrace them on the campaign trail and talk about it because you want them to be excited to vote. And they're not doing that right now while they want their vote. It's a very, to me, it's very strange trying to play both sides of the aisle right now, and it's not working for them, I don't think.
Well, you got to realize, from their point of view, they have the lapdog media there, who's more than happy to do it. You know, if I could give any Republican as a national level free campaign advice right now, and it's probably all that it's really worth, I see them sitting down for interview after interview with the legacy media and adversarial media, and anytime they do that, the first question that they should be asking the reporters is, what do you think about Kamala Harris not respecting you enough to do an interview? That should be the first thing out of their mouth, because why are our guys more than happy to sit down with these interviews, but the Kamala Harris team isn't? But you're absolutely right. On the other side of that, she's flip-flopping. I think she flip-flopped on the border wall today. She flip-flopped on fracking, or at least, you know, anonymous campaign sources say she did. And so if you are a radical eco-leftist, how do you feel about your Green New Deal-supporting candidate who you helped orchestrate the coup to get her put in place? Now, all of a sudden, she's okay with fracking? No, they know that she will be the radical person that she has always been if she is elected to take over the Oval Office, and they are more than happy with that, and they will just keep quiet right now because they know that she's just going to say whatever needs to be said to keep the power.
Yeah, you got to appeal to as many people as possible, and it could potentially work, especially with the PR team that she has from the Barack Obama team, especially as well. Let's talk about the 30-30 plan for a while. It's something that hasn't been in the media as of lately, but the Biden administration still tries to implement the 30-by-30. And for those that don't know what that is, the 30-by-30 plan is they want the federal government to own 30% of the land across the nation by the year 2030 for what they say are conservation purposes, that we want to create national forests, we want to create national parks, we want to try and preserve this land because evil humans just rape and pillage the earth and all its resources and so on and so forth. That's what they want to try and preserve with this 30 by 30 plan. I'm assuming, Larry, that if, God forbid, Kamala Harris gets into the White House with Tim Walz in there as well, that is going to be a plan that they try to reintroduce and try to truly enforce through the EPA, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a great point because that's one of the radical policies that folks should be paying attention to, but they don't. I mean, and out west, sadly, this is the norm. The state where I grew up, New Mexico, it's already 30%+ federal land. Once you get into defense, national forest, all kind, and BLM, all kinds of federal government land grabs. But states like Texas, it's less than 1%. And so the Biden administration is going to do this massive land grab, and I'm sure Kamala Harris will continue with it as well, with no regard for how it's going to affect the American public. Are they going to be able to take over your private land to do it? Are they going to, I'm sure, you know, Nancy Pelosi's three or four or five mansions, Bernie Sanders' three or four or five mansions are going to be just fine. But someone who maybe lives out west or in the Midwest, who has the audacity to, I don't know, grow food for other people or ranch for other people or develop energy for other people, well, that's just not going to be allowed. The federal government's going to have to take over that land and they'll start using words like pristine, or if they invoke Native Americans, they'll say it's going to be sacred land. And all this land that has produced as a resource for the United States for generations will then be taken off the table, because that is another power chip that the federal government will have to manipulate all of us with if Kamala Harris gets into office.
Kind of reminds me of like the Hunger Games. You're not allowed to go out into the woods in District Number 12 because that way they can't find you. It's all government land, not allowed to be out there, not allowed to be surviving and do your own thing and be the conservation. Because we are truly the conservationists. We don't like to go fishing in a river and catch a three-eyed fish because of a tumor. We don't like to go out and catch a deer and hunt a deer and come out and have it have two heads in it because it was manipulated based on the stuff in the water. We like conservation. We do take care of our world and our environment around us. I grew up as a Boy Scout, and I was always taught that you leave your campsite better than what it was, you know, when you actually got there in the first place. That's the way that we operate. These guys take it to another complete extreme. Larry, we got just about a minute left here, but I got to ask you, when it comes to alternative energies and maybe the EVs, we continue to push this again by having fully electric vehicles across the board by 2030. Is that still on track? Are we still going down this road right now? And how popular is that?
Yes, absolutely. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden push through rules because that's how they do a lot of things. They don't go through Congress. They push through rules that's going to mandate that EV sales make up an arbitrary percentage of all vehicle sales by such and such time. Last year, they were about 8%. That's probably going to be their high watermark because EV sales are already cratering. But yeah, that is still on the books right now, and it will stay on the books if Kamala Harris is elected.
Craziness. Larry, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. PowerTheFuture.com is the website. Let's get you back on and do it again real soon, brother.
You guys rock. Thanks so much, Andy.
Hey, absolutely. Got to take a break here. It's Andy Hoosier filled in for the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay right here.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes. He'll be back at it, by the way, for his Newsmax TV show this afternoon. So don't miss that one. ToddStarnes.com. You can also find the show on Newsmax.com with a Newsmax 2 with his daily program. Great content, man. I've been watching that for a while now and absolutely love what he's doing, both with the radio program here, obviously, and of course the TV program. ToddStarnes.com. You can get all the information. And you can watch the TV program on Newsmax.com. Thanks again to Larry Behrens coming on the show. PowerTheFuture.com on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. It is obviously one of the top agenda items that she has. Now, again, we don't know the full agenda of what she has in order for us. And we'll talk about that coming up in hour number two a little bit more in depth. Because right now, it's all about the feel-good messages. It's all about the feel-good of what people want to hear as opposed to any type of policy to really make them think. And unfortunately, that's a very scary thought for society and humanity when we don't care about what they actually want to do. We just want to feel really good about what they ever, whatever they say. And I guess that's what we could do. I guess that's a way that we could operate the system, but I don't think so. When it comes to environmentalism, this is the same one that supported AOC again with her Green New Deal. And remember, AOC is a very special kind.
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
Still my favorite clip from her out of all the time. But if you remember and go back to the Green New Deal back in the day, and she was wanting to literally rebuild every single building. She wanted to ban like boats and ships. She wanted to build a freeway from like California out to Hawaii or something strange. She wanted to get rid of airplanes. She still wants to, and they already tried to implement trying to get rid of natural gas stoves and restaurants and buildings and maybe kind of grandfather some people in. But then as we rebuild and we renovate, gone. You can't have it any longer. And they're not going to do it by saying you just can't have it and outright ban it. They're going to do it by just limiting the options that you have, regulating the private sector, regulating the companies. Kind of like the gun issue with the Second Amendment. We're not going to repeal the Second Amendment. We're just going to shut down the manufacturers to where you can't buy it. And then, well, you can have a gun if you can find one. You can get a gas stove and you can have a gas line in your house if you can find a stove that actually hooks up to it. That's the kind of plan that they have. It's the skeeziness of them manipulating the private market. It's the sleaziness of what they do, controlling you without actually controlling you. And that, my friends, is the movement from the ESG movement. And I still swear that ESG is the most dangerous thing that we have to be aware of by a social credit score that they're implementing through controlling private sector businesses and industry. So that way they limit your options and you have to be forced to comply because you don't have anywhere else to go. That's what we're up against right now. Kind of a crazy world that we live in. All right, we got lots more to get to in hour number two. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in. When we come back, what is the actual platform for Kamala Harris and what could we expect with an upcoming interview? Lots more to stay here.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Yeah, America's blowtorch of conservatism. I love it. It is the Todd Starnes radio show. It is not Todd Starnes, though. Andy Hoosier filling in for you today, at least on the radio program. He will have his Newsmax TV program a little bit later this afternoon. But we are moving the Liberty University studios from Memphis, Tennessee, out here to Wichita, Kansas, where I hail from here on my station, KQAM Radio. And a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program, as we are all over the country right now on multiple stations all over. And we love you to death for you joining us each and every day here on the Todd Starnes radio show. All right. 901-260-5926. If you want to jump on the line, we'd love to hear from you. With all the issues going on in the world today, it's kind of a crazy one. And we just try to wrap our heads around it. I try to stay calm and collect. It's very difficult to do, though, right? Very difficult. But we have fun doing it anyways. Welcome into it as we continue to
do it live
each and every day. Ben Dieter will be joining us on the program, obviously from the flagship of Todd Starnes out there at KWAM, the great mighty 990 out on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. The morning show host, the award-winning morning show host of Wake Up Memphis. He'll be joining us here at the bottom of the hour in just a little bit. All right, so in the last hour, we laid the groundwork of understanding Kamala Harris doesn't have a platform. She's not letting us know what the platform is. She's only doing the rallies and the echo chamber, essentially, for the people that already support her. Not doing a whole lot to get the word out to explain what she's all about to try and win over new people. Now, that being said, there are a very few, at least in my opinion, there are very few people that are in the middle that are undecided. Let's be honest. Donald Trump is one of the most diverse or divisive people. You either love him or you hate him. And he's one of the most biggest name recognized individuals in the country. So you either love Donald Trump already or you already hate Donald Trump already. There's it. There's no middle ground there with Donald Trump. He's already been president for 4 years. You know what you're going to get with the guy. And then you have Kamala Harris that was an unpopular person and she's been a radical, but yet she's not Trump. And that's really all that matters. So is there a middle ground? Is there an undecided? If you are undecided right now and you are in the middle of the road, I am dying to hear from you. I really am. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. I'm dying to hear of someone that says, I'm not quite sure who I'm voting for yet. I'm not quite sure who I'm going to support. Because right now we have two radically different views, two radically different tickets, but yet there's a very slim, independent, unknown, wishy-washy middle ground right now where I say Donald Trump, and I've said this for a while, Donald Trump's been running one of the best presidential campaigns I have ever seen because he's not just doing the echo chamber. He's not just doing rallies for his crowds. And when he does, he brings in 30,000 people. But he's not just doing that. When he goes on podcasts, look, I'm 35. I'm a millennial. When he goes on podcasts that are from the Paul brothers, anybody know who those are? I'm personally not a big fan of the Paul brothers. I do not like their boxing. They made millions as young kids just being a YouTube channel, doing YouTube things. Good for them. They're business people. They're business owners, I guess. And now they branched out and started their own like boxing league and all this other stuff. Good for them. Not a big fan. They have kind of egos that I don't necessarily care for, but they're doing some interesting stuff. They had Donald Trump on the podcast. Donald Trump just won another podcast a couple of days ago. Like, he's all over the place. He did a two-hour sit-down with Elon Musk on X. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. He spoke at the National Libertarian Convention. He's reaching out to people that normally don't talk politics or normally would not vote for Donald Trump at all, and he's talking to them, trying to win them over. That's how you run a campaign. Not Kamala Harris, that since she has become the presumptive nominee at the beginning of the month, has not done a one-on-one sit-down interview, just does a quick little question in passing from the media after a rally that's essentially an echo chamber where she has to lie about artists coming in order for them to actually show up and then say, look at the big crowd that I have. And I try. Here's the thing, and here's what Republicans need to be careful of, is that while we're critical of them not preserving democracy with their primary process, with them not actually laying out a platform, with them not campaigning in the traditional fashion, we, you and I, who are more politically engaged, we understand that that's an issue, and we're scratching our head trying to make sense of this. But trying to make sense of what Kamala Harris and the Democrats are doing right now is kind of equivalent of trying to understand the thought process of a ridiculous narcissist, right? You don't understand the thought process, the gaslighting that they do, how their mind works, because you're like, hey, I need to show them what's right and what's wrong. I need to beat them at their own game. And you can't, because they're narcissists. They're sociopaths. They don't think the same way that we do. Their brains are wired differently. So in order to beat them, we have to understand their logic or lack thereof in order to understand how they're actually campaigning. And Kamala Harris is trying to pull the 2020 Joe Biden campaign scheme of campaigning from her basement, do a few rallies, and then not do anything and just say, I'm not Donald Trump, and that's going to be enough winning. And unfortunately, that works for a lot of their crowd, as there's tons of these videos, especially during the DNC convention, but someone tried to catch people in the airport during or right after the DNC convention last week to ask about what they liked about Kamala.
Can you be up for a quick interview?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
What's your favorite policy of Kamala's?
That's a hard one.
What's your favorite policy of Kamala's?
Her being president.
That's your favorite policy position?
Oh, yeah.
How so?
Because it covers everything that she defends.
I'm really excited for her to restore reproductive rights across America.
How do you think she'll go about doing that?
I don't know.
What a fun question.
I don't know. I'm picking and choosing. I mean, I really like most of them.
So you have to look at it broadly, right? It's about what she stands for right now.
What's your favorite of Kamala's policies?
I'm trying to think. Well, actually, more of like, well, you know what, Waltz comes in.
All of her policies, everything from, I'm non-binary, and so all of the policies for basic human rights, rights to have our own bodies and do with them as we please, you know?
Her willingness to move forward on affordable health care.
How do you think she'll do that as president?
I think she'll work to motivate the legislature to vote in favor of it.
As like her as a person just like tops out any policy. I really admire her.
Great. Thank you both so much.
Wow. Thank you for so much for that. Thank you for the lack of information. We appreciate that very much. There are multiple videos of these all over social media, and it's hysterical to watch them because, as you can tell, they don't care. It's not about policy. It's about emotion. It's not about the thought and the logic of what she's going to do. It is she brings a new, fresh feel to the White House, to politics. She is the new voice. She's not Donald Trump. And we don't know. There's just so many great ideas that she has. I can't even think of one right now. There's so many good ideas. I don't even know which one to choose right now because she sounds really, really good. Which leads me to a bit here. I know Todd, and God bless Todd. I don't know how they were able to pull this off because it's amazing. They work with, obviously, Paul Shanklin here on the program to come up with satire bits and comedy skits. And Paul Shanklin, obviously the guy that did them for Rush Limbaugh, he's a legend in the industry. I don't compare in any form of that at all. but I like to make some fun little skits and do them myself as well. And I had one on my radio program called The Voice of Reason, because at this time, Kamala Harris right now is winning people over based on her motivational messages, which is why we've come up with our own program of the Motivational Messages by Kamala.
Hi, it's your Voice of Reason spokesperson again, and I'm here to tell you about our latest great product. Whereas, you know, sometimes life can be a bit challenging. The stress of work, the economy, maybe questioning your gender, or just finding that right-wing issue to protest for the week. Whatever may be on your mind, don't be sad. Be encouraged with the Voice of Reason's all-new audio tape of motivational quotes from Kamala. Now available in cassette, CD, or downloadable audio, get the entire album of the great motivational speeches from America's next great leader that will help calm your mind and make you feel at peace.
Everything is in context. My mother used to, she would give us a hard time sometimes, and she would say to us, "I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you."
I loved listening to my morning affirmations to get my day started, but now I don't even need affirmations. I can just turn on my motivational quotes with Kamala, and I feel great throughout my day.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
Wow, so insightful.
Albums range from positive speeches to deep insights on the world's problems.
You know, I was thinking about the universe the other day. You know, man, like the meaning of life, it was driving me crazy. Like, literally, what's it all about? Then I listened to my Deep Thoughts with Kamala, and for once, I had my eyes opened.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
Order now and get a copy of both Motivational Quotes with Kamala and Deep Thoughts with Kamala while items last. But wait, there's more! Order now and also set up your kids for success with Kamala's all-new entry-level preschool course, learning about the basics of the world.
So, Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So, basically, that's wrong.
Help give your kids the proper start they need by putting them a step ahead in their education.
My mommy and daddy said I needed to learn about money, so they turned on my new school audio whenever we're in the car.
So we invested an additional $12 billion into community banks, because we know community banks are in the community and understand the needs and desires of that community, as well as the talent and capacity of community.
Plus, she even has educational courses for adults.
AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence. But ultimately what it is it's about machine learning. And so the machine is taught.
It's all available right now, and it's all with the Voice of Reason.
All right, so there we go. That is one of the infomercials I've liked to create. It again, Paul Shanklin, the great, the legend of making some of these satire bits. I get a lot of inspiration from them. But look, if this is the level of policy that progressives understand, and not even progressives, just the basic members of society, the voters, if this is the ill information that they're okay with, they hear that kind of stuff and be like, wow, she is so deep. So deep. That's what I want as the leader of this country. If that's the level that we're at on the IQ and the intellect level, then we're in a world of hurt in this country. And is that okay? Is that enough for them? And is that why she's able to just go about doing her campaign in a nonchalant way, not doing interviews, not defending her platform, not talking about her ideas, not talking about what she wants to do? It almost seems like what Nancy Pelosi said with a bill, we have to pass it to see what's in it. We kind of have to just now apparently vote them in to see what they're going to do. And it's a wild card. What's behind door number one? Kind of a crazy world that we live in. 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. It is the Todd Starnes radio program.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back into it. It is the Tom Carnes Radio Program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for you today on a post-Monday celebration. Greatest day of the entire week. Want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. As you know, the First Amendment is under attack. All the censorship going on, the content that you're not allowed to see, and it continues to get worse every day. But did you know that you can actually help protect your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone on a regular basis? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they're always willing to support the freedom of speech and freedom of religion, which is why we're proud to partner with them right here on the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage that you're used to, and you can do it without actually funding the left side of the aisle. What a wild concept, right? I know. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and so many others. They also have their 100% U.S.-based customer service team that makes it switching very easy. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can even upgrade to something better, which they just came out with something new as well, which is really neat. This team will help you find the best plans for your needs. Here's what you do. Go to the website, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. When you do, you get free activation when you use that promo code Todd, so don't miss that. Join us today and make that switch. patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. Proud partners with us right here on the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Speaking of censorship, did you see this letter that Meta actually came out with and released yesterday and sent to Congress during one of the hearings as they're discussing some of the censorship, especially during, I don't know, election season with content that's out there? That Mark Zuckerberg, man, this is when you know momentum's beginning to shift a little bit in an election, when people that are ardently left-wingers, like crazy left-wingers, and not just left-wing politically, but also do what they can to censor the other side of the aisle. Remember all these interviews that we've had in these hearings with Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, the former owner of Twitter before Elon Musk bought it out, where these guys were open about it. They were totally cool, like, yeah, you know, we're just going to censor this content. Shadow ban it. Hunter Biden's laptop? What are you talking about? Totally fake. You're not allowed to do any of that stuff. Well, now there's a letter that was sent out there to Congress by Mark Zuckerberg that apologized for some of this. Hat tip to Newsmax on part of the story where the letter says in 2021, senior official, this is from Mark Zuckerberg to Congress. In 2021, senior officials from the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration with our teams when we didn't agree, which was, I believe the government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it. I also think that we made some choices that, with the benefit of hindsight and new information, we wouldn't make today. Since it's been made clear that reporting was not Russian disinformation, and in retrospect, we shouldn't have demoted the story, he went on to talk about throughout this letter. Now, this could be just political rhetoric trying to play nice in the middle of the aisle, but this is Mark Zuckerberg. This is a guy who, like, runs the Meta universe, the guy who created the Oculus and virtual reality. This guy, almost not as much money as Elon Musk, but this guy makes a lot of money, and he has the I don't give a you-know-what mentality because he made so much money. He doesn't have to make these statements. He could just walk away and just do what all the other people do, like what the Secret Service leaders do, where they're like, I don't know, I don't have any information, and just completely blow it off and ignore it. But instead, he's apologizing. He's acknowledging it, and he said he's trying to rectify it. Whether we see that happen or not, I'm not too necessarily optimistic about that, but he's trying to at least do something different. And this is after, if you remember, when he said that Donald Trump was kind of awesome after the shooting.
I've done some stuff personally in the past. I'm not planning on doing that this time. And that includes, you know, not endorsing either of the candidates. Now, look, I mean, there's obviously a lot of crazy stuff going on in the
world.
Okay,
hold on. First off, when he says he's not endorsing any of the candidates, kind of like what Dwayne The Rock Johnson did, what, about a month ago, when he says, I'm not endorsing, when both of them had endorsed Joe Biden in the past, both of them were supporters of Barack Obama in the past. This is one of those situations where it's like, say you're supporting Donald Trump without actually saying that you're supporting Donald Trump. Because if you're saying, I'm not supporting either candidate, I'm staying completely out of it, that's essentially saying, I can't support this team. I can't support this ticket because they're really, really bad. But if I say that I'm open to listening, even just considering listening to the other guy over here that's supposed to be the Nazi and the fascist and the white supremacist and everything else they call him, even if I consider listening to him, I will be shunned from all of society. So I'm just not going to support anybody. Say you support Donald Trump without saying you support Donald Trump. And that's the world that we're living in right now. Mark Zuckerberg apologizing for that censorship. We'll see what happens during this election cycle. Lots more coming up. Stay here. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program on a post-Monday celebration. Greatest day of the entire week, as I say on my radio program. We're going to carpe diem all over this place, baby, which is what we do each and every day. Have no fear. The Todd Starnes radio program is here. And let's go right to it with the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. And by hotline, I mean via the interweb going from studio to studio as we have moved the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas. My name's Andy Hoosier, filling in for Todd today. But back at the grand headquarters for the Todd Starnes radio program at KWAM, the Mighty 990, there in Memphis, Tennessee, and the entire team and staff running and make sure this program goes off amazingly, which they always do such a wonderful job. But in studio there, the morning show host, I got to correct, the award-winning morning show host of Wake Up Memphis on KWAM. I always love chatting with him, both on this program. I've had him on my program quite a bit, been on his program, but the man himself, Ben Dieter. Ben, what's going on, brother?
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you, my friend?
It is such a wonderful day, although I will say I have to admit I am done with the global warming of summertime.
Yeah, me too. So I started drinking pumpkin spice lattes, so summer's over to me. I know it doesn't officially start, but I'm with you. You can manifest it. You just do it through pumpkin spice.
Oh, see, I like that idea. Mine, it's going to be not pumpkin spice lattes, but I don't know. What's an adult beverage that's fall flavored? I'm not sure what that is yet. I'll have to figure it out. Or maybe it's just a different type of barbecue. I'm down with that, too.
Yeah, so you're not a pumpkin spice guy?
I'll do it. It's okay, but not my usually go-to. I'm a tea drinker, man. I don't drink coffee or lattes.
How do you get wound up to do your show and this show? Are you drinking a matcha or an energy drink? You seem like a monster type of guy.
Straight tea. I don't do any energy drinks at all. No tea, no coffee.
Wow, that's going to age well for you. Yeah, good for you.
A loud, angry music is what gets me going. That's I do.
Wow.
That's what gets me.
A little screamo doesn't hurt.
A little bit, getting you fired up and pumped up. Ben, I don't know if you heard the last segment. We were talking about the statement that Mark Zuckerberg came out with to Congress about the censorship that happened during the last election. Obviously, the Russian collusion stuff and the Russian stories, the misinformation from there, the Hunter Biden laptop, and Mark Zuckerberg essentially apologizing and saying that what they did was wrong and the pressure that came directly from the White House, which you would think would be a bad blending and a violation of some sort of infringement on freedom of speech in the First Amendment, with the government telling social media this is not an okay story, you have to get rid of this, and social media now openly admitting it. Now, it kind of came out in the public when Elon Musk took over Twitter and turned it into X and then released all of the internal confidential documents regarding this. But now Mark Zuckerberg admitting it as well and apologizing for it. Legitimate? Or do you think it's just trying to play nice to try and keep his popularity up?
I think it's an apology too late. This would be textbook election interference. Coming from the party of everything that Trump has done or that MAGA Republicans are doing is a threat to democracy. No, what they're doing is actually using big tech to tip the scales in favor of their candidates. And we saw that with the Hunter Biden laptop. Once again, Biden sending the overlords of tech industries to censor their dissenters. So I don't know. I saw the news. I was listening to the last block. It's great that he's doing it now. I hope he corrects course. But it's unfortunate because the damage has already been done. There were a lot of people that got vaccines, maybe that they didn't even need, but for that disinformation, if you want to talk about disinformation coming from the Biden-Harris administration.
Yeah, that is true. I'm still on a second strike from YouTube because of interviewing a few of the doctors during that time and a few of those, the mRNA vaccines, and talking about that. I'm still banned and I can't do live streaming on YouTube. I still can't because they say that it was medical misinformation. I've appealed it multiple times and they're like, yeah, no, you're not allowed to. So it's still going on in YouTube right now. Which, by the way, for those that don't know, YouTube is now owned by Google as well. So you have to have a Gmail account in order to get a YouTube account. It's a whole thing. It's kind of frustrating. But that group is the same one right now where YouTube, during the European elections and the UK election just a couple of months ago, came out and said that they were doing what they called pre bunking, where they don't want to debunk a story afterwards to try and recorrect the story, but pre-bunking to screen it and go through its filters of some sort of, you know, fact-checking in whatever standard that they set and pre-bunk it before they allow it to go out on the Google algorithm when someone searches a story to try and prevent misinformation during an election season. And if that's happening in the UK, I can only imagine what's going to happen here in the United States.
And just imagine if you've got Tim Walz, who just a couple a month ago, he was out there saying, if we find information that you're sharing on your socials to be a threat or disinformation, will come after you. And look what they're doing across the pond. If you don't think, to your point, that will happen here in America, if God forbid Harris and Walz become the next administration, well, you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention.
They have a strong presence on social media, being the Democrats right now, Kamala Harris. One of the deputy campaign managers for Kamala made a statement about social media, their presence on there, and the agenda, I guess, they want to spread through social media, which isn't saying this is what we stand for and what we're going to do, but it's just, look how great I am with an iconic moment like Barack Obama, and I'm not Donald Trump, which is apparently what their strategy is going to be here.
I think our job as the campaign is to be aware of the meme without being the meme. For us, it's important to have a conversation about our core message in ways that make sense for people in the places where they are. The way we are communicating with Kamala HQ on TikTok is different than the way we're communicating with Kamala HQ on Twitter, is different than the way that we communicate in her voice. It's different than the way we communicate on TV.
Yeah.
Those things are all different because we talk to a lot of different audiences.
I mean, I get that, but at the same time, what message are you actually spreading? Because I don't know really what that is.
It's kind of brilliant what they're doing. So there was a story in Politico, and same deputy that you just heard from that you played for the listeners, they are using this this quote, and you'll hear it multiple times. They're aware of the memes going around about Kamala Harris, the word salad. You were playing some of that in the first block of the show. So they want to be aware of the memes without being the memes themselves. And what was one of Kamala Harris's biggest hangups? It was well known that her laugh was annoying. She laughed at really unfortunate times. So you kind of saw that during the DNC last week. It was taking the laugh and making it all about joy. And so they're aware of the memes that are floating around and they're leaning into it. Now that works until it doesn't. But apparently they have, quote, a group of feral 25-year-olds, that was actually their quote behind their campaign strategy, really leaning into the whole Kamala is brat, Kamala is the wine aunt that you want to hang out with. Is it going to be effective? Well, she's pulling really well with young people, but I don't know. Do you want a wine aunt to have her fingers on the nuclear codes?
That's a great question. And traditionally, the younger generation already leans left. So why are they pandering so hard to them when they traditionally are already on that side of the aisle? There's an old adage where they say that if you're young a Republican, then you have no heart. If you're old and a Democrat, then you have no brain. And that's what I grew up hearing my entire life, and which made me the outcast in high school when I took a government class. And I was the Republican arguing in my high school debate government class because they didn't understand it because they were the bleeding hearts, which is what, you know, Rush Limbaugh liked to say back in the day. So they already have the vast majority of that crowd. Yeah. I think maybe Robert F. Kennedy Jr. maybe pulled away a little bit of those because he was actually one of the most appealing to that crowd by being on TikTok doing push-up challenges, showing up at Muscle Beach doing his thing. So he was appealing. But if they already dominate 67-70% of that demographic and age, why would they focus so much time on trying to make her more appealing that way when Donald Trump's the 80-year-old guy and she's the 60-year-old woman that's cool and hip?
Well, because they only have kids running the campaign. I mean, genuinely, I know they brought in some former Biden and Obama staffers, not Biden staffers, Obama staffers, where you've got David Plouffe now working on the speeches, all of the Obama guys trying to recreate Kamala Harris. But at the end of the day, the turnover rate in her office, because she's a terrible, terrible employer, apparently, is like 97%. So what are you left with? You're left with a ton of 25-year-old feral kids. So that's maybe why.
Maybe why. Maybe that's all they know how to appeal to right now.
And also, young people don't vote. That's the other problem. Yes, they're really active on social media, but they're not active in voting booths, which is Republicans' best friends.
That's a great point. That is great. At the same time, the younger generation that is there and that is politically active, they're the ones out there protesting against Hamas or for Hamas and against Israel. And they're trying to shun and silence that group right now because they're the outspoken crazies that are on their side, too, which I find really hilarious. During a DNC convention, they build a wall around the convention and keep their own undesirables out of that convention that are on their side while they're in there saying that Donald Trump's party is the party of tiki torches and anti-Semitism, which is hilarious. We're talking with Ben Dieter with the morning host for Wake Up Memphis on KWAM. Speaking of the young generation, again, I'm 35. I'm a millennial. You're a little bit younger than me, I believe. But the young generation's workforce, moving into the workforce, is kind of a sight to behold. And I don't know how much this is going to affect the workforce in general, but we see 20% of younger generation people actually show up with their parents going to job interviews, which blows my mind. Because that takes helicopter parenting to an entirely different level.
You didn't do that to land your radio gig? Your mom and dad weren't in the back of the camera shot?
I'd be like, he can talk really well, I promise. Yeah, they didn't do that one. Okay. No, I got that one mostly on substance. I say mostly.
You know. Nice. And yeah. No DEI hire with Andy Hoosier. No.
You never know. Never know. I could pull out and say, I'm Irish. I was persecuted in the past in some fashion, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But not only with them showing up with their parents, but now there's a new report that shows that many in the young generation would rather leave their job than work with someone that has political differences. Are we really that divided and sensitive in society today, Ben?
Yes. The answer is yes. For a lot of these Gen Zers, they're also called Zoomers and Millennials. I guess it goes all the way up from 18 to 34. So Indeed did this study. Of course, Indeed is all about the workforce. They partnered up with Harris Polling, and what they found is that 40% of employees within this age group would walk before they work with someone who would have different political ideologies or leaning. Now, I just find that absolutely unbelievable, because where are you going to work where everybody is monolithic and thinks the same way and talks the same way as you? It's obviously very unhealthy for your mental and your just development as a young person.
It's almost a consequence, kind of the cause and effect of growing up with social media, where you could block anyone that's different than you. And it's that echo chamber again, where you only surround yourselves with people that you like. You create this perception of the world based on the social media and the friends that you have there. And if they disagree with you or trigger, and I say this in air quotes, trigger you for some reason, for whatever that someone posts that you don't like, you can block them, ban them, and get rid of them. So you only feel good about the feed that you see when you go on social media. They're now they've grown up with that their entire life, and now they're trying to apply that in the real world. And it's going to be interesting to see how well that works out. But if they are the young generation that's going to take over the workforce, what could that do to the workforce down the road?
I don't know. I don't think that employers want to hire little activists. I mean, to all of the employers out there listening to the Todd Starnes show, do you want someone whose full-time job is educating people on the causes of climate change, on gay, lesbian, trans rights? I mean, that's what we would have. Think Beto O'Rourke. Like, his full-time job, after failing as a candidate multiple times, his full-time job, his 9-to-5, is actually going around the country and educating people on their rights, their voting rights, their gay rights. It's like, that's not a job description. But I guess today's America, maybe it will be. I just don't think employers, when they're trying to decipher whether it's a good candidate or a bad candidate, they're looking at their portfolio in activism. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, activism and self-expression. I mean, when I first got into the workforce, the big topic was tattoos and piercings and how do you present yourself to the workforce. I worked at a bank before I got into radio, and I was a personal banker, and they said you had to cover up tattoos. No, I have one. It's on my shoulder, but just wearing a T-shirt covers it up, so it doesn't really bother. But there were a couple individuals that had a small little one on their wrist, and they had to cover it up with makeup or a Band-Aid over it every day to go to work because they weren't allowed to. Now, it's kind of a accepted sort of thing in society, so it's gone and moved from the self-expression of this is what I do with my own personal self, which all the power to you. I personally don't have any issues with tattoos. But then you take it to the next level of now you have to accept my delusional world of either everybody believes the same way as me because I'm so diverse and open-minded and accepting of everyone as long as you agree with me, or I live in this world of I believe I'm something different and therefore you have to accept me on that front as well. Like, we've just dialed the notch up to 11, and I don't want to sound like the grumpy old guy, the get-off-my-lawn kind of guy, but this is crazy how far we've taken this stuff.
Well, I just love that they think that they're the victims in the workforce. Actually, if you're a conservative working in many of these hyper-liberal workplaces, you're the one that will actually be facing discrimination. I know something a little bit about this because my first internship was at a news organization. It was a TV affiliate in Dayton, Ohio, and they found my old tweets when I was basically a Trump campaigner for, I was like literally 16 years old, and they found those old tweets, and they said, yo, if you want to keep your internship, you need to scrub your tweets ASAP. So the audacity of these young people to think that they are actually the victims of political ideologies is just nonsense.
It's crazy. Ben, we got just about a minute left here as we kind of wrap up. But it leads into the final conversation of masculinity right now. We see a ticket of the dominance of the female and the submission of the male with the Kamala and Walz ticket compared to the Donald Trump J.D. Vance ticket right now. Is that what they're pushing? Is that their focal point? Not only with the identity politics, but strong woman, look at me, and I'm dominating the guy because now he's subservient to the woman. Is that what we're going to hear on this campaign trail?
Well, it's interesting. Kamala didn't mention her gender or her race. Did you notice that during the DNC?
Yeah.
One time. Yeah. So that's going to be a tough one for anybody to go up against Kamala Harris being a female in this ticket, because she's not making that a big campaign issue. I think she noticed what Hillary did and realized to do the opposite. I don't know. Is Doug Emhoff and Tim Walz sex symbols? That's the question I guess you're going to have to figure out with the rest of your show.
That's interesting. That is
because
wild.
Apparently, according to the Washington Post, they are the new version of not toxic masculinity. They're calling this the tonic masculinity, the solution to toxic men.
Well, Tim did make a comment about masculinity and how, you know, they need to rebrand masculinity by doing this. So I don't know. The beta male somehow is sexy now in some fashion. I don't know that I can get along with that. I don't know if I tried to go home and be the beta male. Although, you know, Ben, I make the decisions in my own home when my wife allows me to do so. So, you know what? There's that makeup. Ben, it's always good to talk to you. And oh, by the way, executive producer Grace for the Todd Stearns program said that the best adult beverage for the fall time, hard apple cider.
Oh, wow.
Hard apple cider. And I'm down with that. I can do that all day long. Orchard's hard apple cider. Telling you. Always good to talk to you, brother.
All right. Keep it up, my friend.
Love it. Got to take a break. One more segment right around the corner here for the Todd Stearns radio program. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Stearns radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in today for the post-Monday. I was going to say the pre-Friday. It's not Thursday yet. It is now Tuesday. You still have a ways to go, but we are just rocking it here on the program. Thanks again to Ben Dieter coming on the show. Award-winning morning host out there on KWAM, the Mighty 990 in Memphis, Tennessee. As we talk about the young generation, it is important for us to reach out to the young generation, which is why, again, I applaud Donald Trump for the way he's been campaigning by going on different podcasts. By going on and talking to different groups that he normally would not talk to on the campaign trail, usually Republicans, and I got to bang on the Republicans for just a little bit here. They've done a horrible job at trying to widen that umbrella for years of talking to different demographics or going into places that they may not be necessarily popular with because they want to preserve their resources for people that they feel that they can actually win over instead of winning over new people. And I'm here to say conservatism, when we go head to head ideologically with the other side, we always win every time. And Donald Trump's proving that. In the height and the excitement that Kamala Harris has right now on the campaign trail, that is the peak of what she's going to have because they dominated the conversation for the entire month. Now there's nothing left, and it's going to be MIA Kamala with a few rallies and echo chambers here and there. She's going to start dwindling. Donald Trump has been widening that umbrella and winning over new people, which we'll talk about coming up in hour number three. It's the Todd Stearns radio program. Stay here.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. Welcome into it. It is hour number three of the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd Starnes out today, though. He's out. He will be back for his Newsmax TV program this afternoon, so don't miss that one, Newsmax.com. You can also find all his information at ToddStarnes.com. But no, we are moving the Patriot Mobile News, the Liberty University Studios. The Liberty University Studios, moving them out here to Wichita, Kansas. My name's Andy Hoosier, filling in for him today, broadcasting out of my flagship KQAM radio in Wichita, Kansas, and a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. And what a wild ride we've had so far. It's open lines to you at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Have no fear, the Todd Starnes radio program's still here. Like what we did there? See? Nice little spin on that. All right. Bottom of the hour, we have Josh Bernstein on the program. He is author of the latest book, Preserving Liberty, as we talk about ways that we can fix the country, not just acknowledge the problems, which is important. If you ever go to any type of club or meeting, if you know what I mean, the first acceptance is recognizing that you have a problem. And then you can start working on the solutions based on recognizing that there is a problem. As a nation, I feel like one of those models during the interview. We, as Americans, we need to recognize our problems here and then move forward. And I think, personally, one of those problems that we have to recognize and we need to have a serious intervention on is what we saw during that Democrat convention last week, because it was a sight to behold. And I painted a picture of it on my radio program, but imagine this for a second. Close your eyes unless you're driving, but close your eyes and imagine this for just a moment. We have the elites that are sitting in a nice convention hall, patting each other on the back, doing their thing, talking about how great they are, with a wall built around them for their own deplorables from their own side of the aisle that they don't like, that are protesting, causing havoc, causing anarchy. In a city where you have businesses, small businesses, that boarded up their doors and windows to protect themselves from the potential violence that was going to incur from the protesters from their own side of the aisle, stalling any economic growth in the community that was going on during the time the elites are there. In the same city that just over the weekend leading up to in Chicago had over 20 shootings and over 6 deaths in the weekend alone, based on their policies by Democrats that have run that area, while the elites sit back and talk about how great their policies are and what they want to do for the rest of the country. The epitome of what we see during a movie of like The Hunger Games. That's what we saw during this last convention when the media said there's more excitement than what they had seen since the Barack Obama administration so many years ago. And I find that kind of strange. Now, in my eyes, obviously, we're on the other side of the aisle, so we're kind of the third-party objectors looking inside here, sticking our head into the sewers and trying to understand the mindset, which don't do it too often. It might kill a few brain cells, but do it every once in a while because you need to understand your enemy, right? So as we look at what they're doing, we're desperate to understand how they work in order to beat them in a campaign. I'm reading some of the comments, which, by the way, on Todd's Facebook page, you can go to Todd Starnes and find it, and you can see the video feed, and you can comment on there. I was reading some of the comments during the break, and some people are saying Donald Trump's going to win easily. Others saying Kamala Harris is going to win easily, maybe because of cheating, maybe just because they just don't have as much of a platform. I will say, though, that I think that, as I've said before, Donald Trump's running an amazing campaign, and now is he the great uniter? Is he the one that's going to unite? Now, again, put this into perspective of the side that said that Donald Trump panders to nobody except for a bunch of white supremacists that carry tiki torches around, which is the whole reason why Joe Biden had to come out and run for president in 2020, because what he saw under the Trump administration was just too shocking to see that that's what we were as a nation nowadays, with Nazis and white supremacists not even afraid to cover their face, to come out into public and show their anti-Semitism in the nation. Again, the hypocrisy while they talk about anti-Semitism with true anti-Semitics and pro-terrorist supporters right outside of their walls as the undesirables of the Democrat Party. I find that a little strange. But now Donald Trump, let's focus on our side for just a moment, shall we? The great uniter, where we've had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. join him, the first Kennedy to step outside of the Democrat ranks, still relatively Democrat, running as an independent, dropping his name on the ballot in some swing states in order to partner with Donald Trump in this campaign, saying that he could win over a lot of his supporters to vote for Donald Trump. And according to the flash polls that I saw over the weekend, it was working, where in some of these swing states where he is throwing his support behind Trump, that Donald Trump's winning over roughly 50 to 60% of Kennedy's followers to follow him to go to Donald Trump. And if that's one point, then that's a point that we can take. Every point counts, right? I mean, swing states like Pennsylvania, for example, according to some national polls, taken with a grain of salt, it's before Labor Day. We still have plenty of time to go. But according to some of those polls, Kamala Harris is only up by like 0.3%. And if we win 1 or 2 points by RFK Jr. coming on board, then that's totally fine. Now we see, as of yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard, not a big surprise there, but endorsing Donald Trump as well, after coming on board and saying that she was going to help him end the debate to go head-to-head with Kamala Harris, which we'll see whether that happens or not. We talked about that a little bit earlier. But here's the bigger question. It seems like now the Republicans are widening their umbrella and accepting more people in, while the Democrats are driving people out. And I mean driving them out in groves. We saw Tulsi Gabbard leave just a few years ago and become truly independent. A Kennedy that's causing waves, by the way, in the Kennedy family. I don't know if you saw their post. Let me see if I can find it real quick. They made a post on the family upset with Kennedy for actually stepping out of the Democrat ranks and supporting Donald Trump. And a statement from Carrie Kennedy, the sister of Robert F. Kennedy, made an official statement from the Kennedy family saying, quote, "We want an America filled with hope and bound together by shared vision of a brighter future, a future defined by individual freedom, economic promise, and national pride. We believe in Harrison Walls. Our brother Bobby's decision to endorse Trump today is a betrayal of the values that our father and our family hold most dear. It is a sad ending to a sad story." And they signed it with Kathleen Kennedy, Courtney Kennedy, Carrie, Chris, and Rory Kennedy. A betrayal of the family. Because apparently the Democrats, who have been the ones allowing the burning of American flags, is now the party of patriotism and heroism because Tim Walz somehow was in the military. And thank you for your service, even though you lied about what your credentials actually were. We appreciate what you've done for the nation. I mean, if you noticed during the convention last week, they were working really hard to try and bring back that love of country and patriotism in there. And they were singing the national anthem with the Dixie Chicks, now known as the Chicks, because apparently Dixie is racist, so you can't say that. You have the flags all over the place. They were waving American flags in some aspect. It was a very strange sight to behold for a Democrat convention that hasn't seen that in, oh, I don't know, 10 years plus. It was very different. But they're trying desperately to win over the middle of the country. While at the same time, they feel like they're casting out members. And instead of being the wide umbrella of a party which they parade and pride themselves on, they've really isolated themselves, pigeonholed themselves into a corner, and are casting anyone out that doesn't believe in their extremism with one of the most radical tickets we've ever seen. What do I mean by that? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. walking away because of the fact that censorship kept his campaign from actually gaining any traction, which he said on an interview recently with Tucker Carlson.
If you really look at what's happening in the Democratic Party today, it's a party that the word demos in Greek means people. But it's a party that's lost faith in the people. It's a party that needs ironclad control. So they didn't trust anybody during to have a real election. They got rid of the primaries because they didn't trust the people. They then handpicked Vice President Harris with no election, no even pretense of election, because they didn't trust the people. And, you know, you have, and they're the party now of censorship. And
how can you have a democracy with censorship?
You cannot have a democracy. They're absolutely incompatible. And everybody knew that. Everybody, you know, you and I were raised reading Orwell and Aldous Huxley and you know, Robert Heinlein and Alexander Solzhenitsyn and all of these other books that were part of classical literature that was taught in every American classroom. It said the first step to totalitarianism is always begins with censorship.
It's a great point. He's absolutely right. And that's exactly what we saw with the Democrats now wanting to silence any people that may be relatively on their side, but really upset them. And at first, when I heard this last week, and I've said this, I think, on Todd's program before, and I think Todd has said this as well with the concerns that, look, there was some appeal to conservatives for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, he's still a relatively left-wing Democrat on many policy issues. But personally, for me, I like his stance on the concerns of a weaponized government with obviously the CIA, the FBI, obviously the trauma the family had gone through as the Kennedys with with his uncle and his father being assassinated. He understands the threats of a weaponized government. He also recognizes that we went way too far when it comes to vaccines and the vaccine mandates and the pharmaceutical industry that's in bed with the NIH and the FDA and these other health departments from the federal government in order to make a profit and force people to do these vaccinations when there are concerns. Not to be anti-vax, but just to be concerned about what I'm injecting into my body and having a right to choose whether I want to do that or not. That's common sense. And I like those. And I think that was an appeal to many conservatives understanding that and going towards Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But they were still Democrats. And I was skeptical that there were enough Trump supporters to sway anything or have an influence by him dropping out of the race. And in fact, I was more concerned about him dropping out and then Democrats going back to Kamala Harris and actually helping her numbers more than helping our numbers. But then I've seen the vicious attack they've gone on with the DNC, and it's been kind of a spectacle to watch. With before the announcement last week, when Nicole Shanahan did that podcast, she talked about just regretting working with Democrats altogether.
I really wanted a fair shot at this election, and I believed in the America that I, a little girl, pledged an allegiance to. And that is not where we are today, and it's not because of the Republican Party taking us out. It is exclusively because of the Democratic Party taking us out. And I am so disappointed I ever helped them. I am so disappointed that I helped Chuck Schumer in that Georgia runoff secure a majority. It's probably one of the biggest mistakes of my life.
I mean, those are some pretty tough words. At the same time, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday in the state of Wisconsin, Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, also made a statement about her victory in the courts. Now, remember, again, this is the hypocrisy and the gaslighting from the other side of the aisle. The Democrats have tried to keep her off the ballot as well because, you know, they're concerned about Donald Trump having a weaponized judicial system to go after his political opponents, while they've tried to throw him in jail multiple times, fine him, and destroy him politically and personally on many different aspects. They were also trying to keep Jill Stein off the ballot. Well, if the progressive isn't on there as the third party candidate, then we're going to get those votes. Again, might want to cover up your desperation showing just a little bit. But Jill Stein having a victory in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court yesterday, being able to keep her on the ballot and her going after the Democrat Party.
Dr. Jill Stein, could you please tell us about the trouble that you've been having with ballot access and getting your name on the ballot in several states? Is this a play by the DNC?
Absolutely. I think we need to rename the Democratic Party. It's actually the anti-democratic party, and I have trouble with both of the organized parties. I wouldn't leave Republicans out of this either, but focusing on the Democrats here, they are pulling out all the stops to basically shut down political competition. Isn't that what democracy is supposed to be about?
That's, again, pretty bold statements. While the Democrats isolate themselves and shun everybody else that doesn't get on board with them in a forceful manner, we see the widening party of the Republicans. We're seeing the MAGA movement appeal to more people when it's been years since 2015, essentially, of them telling us that Donald Trump and the MAGA movement is racist, is radical. I mean, we've been deemed as the domestic terrorists on the threat list in this nation because we cling to our guns and our Bibles, that we are the threat to national security, which is why we need a weaponized IRS. We need a weaponized Commerce Department and Treasury Department. We need a weaponized FBI and CIA against the American people. We're the threats to the nation, and yet we're winning people over all over the place. Now, what I guess some are calling now the Justice League is the most diverse team that I've ever seen on the campaign trail, with a Donald Trump, a J.D. Vance, a Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and a Tulsi Gabbard. And in fact, just a little while ago, about an hour or so ago, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. posting a picture of Tulsi Gabbard in her military outfit saying, "Wonder Woman just joined the Justice League." I mean, if that's not a victory, I don't know what else is, because this is a team that's being more diverse than what Democrats could have ever hoped for. And I mean diverse in identity politics that they like to play and political ideology, when they say that anything that differs from them is now racist, bigoted, homophobic, and everything else they like to throw at us with these ridiculous terms. We are the most diverse crowd, and it's all because of the MAGA movement widening that umbrella for the Republican Party. Your thoughts on this? 901-260-5926. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Back after this. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. I want to tell you about our friends over at MyPillow. You asked and MyPillow listened. They're finally bringing you the most requested offer that you've ever seen. Right now, You can get your queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. MyPillow is made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position, and helps you track, keep your neck aligned and holds the shape all night long so you can get the best sleep of your life. These things are absolutely amazing, I can say firsthand. But that's not all. Get their six-piece kitchen or bath towel set for only $25. Their brand-new mattress topper as low as $69.98. And their famous MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $25. And so many more great sales. Here's what you do. Go to MyPillow.com or you can call 800-839-8506. And when you call or go to the website, use the promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. How amazing is that? That's the lowest price ever. Don't delay. Use promo code STARNS at checkout. Go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, or again, go to 800-839-8506. Give them a call today. I think we've covered the elections and campaign season pretty in depth throughout the program today. It is fascinating to watch the widening of the umbrella. And look, this is, I've said this before, this is a time that you're going to remember forever. This is historical moments. Absorb this. Sit back and just let it roll in. I know it's a crazy fight. I know that we are on the brink of going one direction or the other, and those extremes are truly extreme from one side to the other. But we are living in truly historic times on many different aspects. I've never seen a presidential candidate who's an incumbent step down after the primary process, stripping away that democratic process. And again, the other side doesn't care, but it's something to behold on what's going on with that party. I've never seen it go more radical while they try to oust half their party and then talk about unity and how great everybody is. I've never seen the widening and the rebranding that they're going through right now, an identity crisis for the Democrats, while the Republicans are the party of just bringing everybody in and saying, hey, you like that craziness over there? Yeah, no, we don't either. Just come over here and we got you. We'll take care of this. And then Donald Trump being the head of that and showing what MAGA is actually really about. While the media tried to use the term, quote unquote, weird, remember that for the past few weeks, that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are just weird, that MAGA is just weird. If that's the best that they have to try to describe what we are, again, I don't know how much the gaslighting is going to work, because weird would be Tim Walz doing what he did with boys' bathrooms and the tampons in those boys' bathrooms. Weird would be them trying to say they support Israel while they are accepting the pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist movement on the other on their own side, and then saying that we are the anti-Semitic ones on our side of the aisle. Weird is saying that you're going to be radical and then not have an agenda 80 days out before an election time. What do we do to fix some of that? Because it's time for an intervention for the nation, and I think that we have to accept what's happening to be able to recognize it in order to fix it, which leads us to our guest after the break. Josh Bernstein will be joining us, author of the book, Preserving Liberty. How do we preserve it and how do we get our country back on track from this election and moving forward? Lots more coming up on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Trump or Kamala?
Kamala. I like her, and I'm a Democrat.
Why do you like her?
Because she will be a good female president, and I would love to have a good female president for the U.S.
And what do you think she'll do good for our country?
She'll actually help our country more than Donald Trump would do, because she is smart, and she's more reliable.
And what do you think are some exact things she'd do?
She'll do lower income and lower taxes.
So she'd lower everyone's income?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
That is a good thing.
What do you think about Donald Trump?
Donald Trump is the worst president in the whole wide world.
How come?
Because he hurt the Capitol building and he started World War III.
Wow. There you go. Hey, what's the best thing she's gonna lower my income, and that's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. Why don't you like Donald Trump? He started World War III, baby. Oh boy. See, that's the kind of individual where there's nothing that you can say to win them over. They're just a little bit on the other end of the aisle.
I'm special.
I didn't say that. Man, welcome back into it, the Todd Starnes Radio Program. My name's Andy Hoosier, filling in for Todd Starnes today. Todd is, by the way, back on Newsmax for his program this afternoon. ToddStarnes.com is his website, and you can check out the program on Newsmax.com. You can find my program, if anybody is interested, HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. And, of course, my social media at Hoosier Reason as well. But let's jump right into it with the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline as we talk about ways to preserve our liberty, preserve the nation and what we stand for and what we do. Because I'm that type of mindset right there, I doubt. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not a mean person. I am a happy-go-lucky. I love everybody. And like the true sense of just caring for everyone, I just don't care. Yeah, do your thing, baby. All for you. But what we used to call the low information voter, what Rush Limbaugh used to say back in the day, I would say that's probably it. And how do we get people like that back on track to realize, I don't know, common sense? Really happy to have on the program with us here on the Todd Starnes Radio Program as he is author of the latest book, Preserving Liberty, Mr. Josh Bernstein. Josh, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, but I'm a little dumber after hearing that. But I must say that was an indictment against the media in this country. God bless them for doing such a horrible job, I guess I could say, because they are basically keeping people dumb, stupid, with mush between their ears. They have lied incessantly for many, many years, and now you have a whole nother generation like that, you know, nitwit that you just played that is completely brainwashed. So pretty sad stuff.
It's very sad stuff. And Josh, when we have a society that's supposed to be progressing, and by progression, I mean actually getting better and actually leveling up ourselves and actually fixing our issues of the past and fine tuning our system to make it more efficient, to grow, to actually flourish and do well. That's the kind of mindset that wins over a large portion of people in an election, because it makes sense why Kamala Harris doesn't have to come out with a platform, because those types of voters don't care about a platform. They already have their minds made up, and there's nothing that you can say to them in a rational, logical mind that will actually get them to actually flip their votes. And that, to me, scares the you-know-what out of me.
And it should, because, you know, these are the types of people that end up, you know, going to the grocery store and going, how come there's no food? What happened to all the food? And then all of a sudden there's going, I don't remember seeing these guys with, you know, armed guns and everything standing outside the grocery store, blocking people from walking in and out. What's going on?
Yeah.
Something's going on, and it's too late already at that point. So we've got to make sure that we get enough votes, number one. And number two, we've got to make sure that we win this election and that we stop the stupidness, because that's really what it is. I hate to say it. And that's kind of what my book kind of does. It really kind of exposes a lot of the problems that we have in Washington and around the country for that matter. And instead of just complaining about different things, I talk about the issues, and then I have solid, reasonable, logical solutions on how to fix them.
I love it. That's what we need. I tease coming into this saying that we're kind of going through the intervention stage where we need to acknowledge and recognize that there's a problem so that way we can learn on how to start fixing it. As a question to start off here, Josh, are we at that stage of acknowledging and recognizing that there's a problem in order for us to start moving into the fix it phase? Or are we still kind of in the denial stage of, no, there's nothing wrong here, these aren't the droids you're looking for? I mean, where are we at right now as a nation?
I think it's a mixture of both, to be quite honest. I mean, you know, one of the things that I start out with, even in the intro of my book, is Alexander Teitler's 8 Stages of a Democracy. I hate calling America a democracy because, let's face it, it's not a democracy. You know, the word democracy does not show up in the Constitution even once. And if you do the Pledge of Allegiance, you say, and to the republic, right? You don't say to the democracy for which it stands. And so I always try to correct people with that. But look, the bottom line is we are in the apathy stage, and the apathy stage after that becomes bondage and slavery. Do we have enough time to right this ship? Sure we do, definitely. But we have to win this election in order to be able to facilitate, the turnaround, you know, the transformation, if you will, of America back to its founding principles and morals and values. And that's going to take a lot of work. That's going to take a lot of people. And one of the things that I stress in the book is that the answers are not from government. The answers are not from one man, Donald Trump. The answers are from within us. We, the people, have the power. We just don't know we have the power. And if we do know that we have the power, we don't exactly know how to use it. So I wrote this book. It's 192 pages, almost like a textbook, if you will. This is the type of book that you read with a yellow highlighter in hand. And if you are an older individual, you're going to read things that are going to give you audible gasps, where you're going to have to grab your glasses and put them on and read it again to make sure that you read what you thought that you read. That is the type of book that Preserving Liberty is all about, from going through election issues, election integrity, how to change the electorate to give more people a voice, going after China, competition, how to pay off $9 trillion of the national debt, you name it. Dismantling Washington is a chapter in and of itself. So I really kind of go through a lot of the issues that we've had for a long time and try to solve them.
I love it. It's needed. And let's talk about some of those for just a moment. You mentioned the $9 trillion. In fact, we're, what, $35 trillion now in debt as a nation, and we squabble about 20% of the federal budget with our 12 appropriation bills in the discretionary spending category. The other 80% of the federal budget's mandatory spending. We're not allowed to talk about it. And in fact, we can't even talk about it to the point if we say, let's just slow down the growth of this. And let's stop it from growing 6% and only allow it grow 2%. They say it's a 4% cut and we're going to let people die in the streets. And that's how radical these conversations actually are. Is it possible to actually get this back on track? Is it possible to lower or minimize the size of that fourth bureaucratic branch of government when Donald Trump says he wants to eliminate the Federal Department of Education? Is that actually possible? Because I've never seen the government get smaller.
Yeah, well, you're right. Normally, you don't see it get smaller. Look, I think that if President Trump is elected and he brings in the right people, then yes, a lot of these things can absolutely change. And perhaps, maybe, just maybe, my book will be used as a blueprint that will help facilitate a lot of that change. For instance, there's $4.5 trillion in offshore money right now, as we speak. And the reason is obviously due to our, you know, tax codes. We are the second highest next to Denmark in the world for capital gains tax. So one of my solutions is, okay, how do we bring $4.5 trillion back into the economy? Let's do a 0% moratorium on capital gains tax rates for the next 90 days. No penalties, no nothing. You bring that money back into the economy and you reinvest it back into the market, which will then in turn, of course, make the economy stronger almost immediately and overnight. That is one thing that we can do. That'll take $4.5 trillion and bring it right back into the economy. Another way that you can do things is there is $267,000 owed per person, 336 million people in this country. There's 735 billionaires. There's 22,000 millionaires in this country. If each one of them was allowed just a one-time payment of $267,000 in exchange for not having to pay taxes in the future, guess what? You'd bring in another probably $7 to $8 trillion more. So I know that paying, you know, $10 to $12 trillion of a $35 trillion debt is like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound, but at least it's a move in the right direction. So these are some of the types of solutions that I have and that I talk about. Reining in the FISA court. The FISA court's been around since 1970s, late 70s, and they have a 99.9% acceptance rate on all spy warrants. They have only denied 12 warrants in all those years. So you're talking about a 99.9% acceptance rate on warrants. And guess what? They answer to no one. They are a shadow court that is almost as powerful as the Supreme Court, and every single of those 11 judges is appointed by one person, that is John G. Roberts, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. So one of the things that I suggest in the book is, my goodness, at just a minimum, why don't we at least make these judges part of, if we can't get rid of the FISA court completely, let's at least make these judges go under the advising consent of a Senate confirmation process, so at least there's oversight. and overhead over these different judges, and at least the Senate can choose who they are rather than the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. So those are the things that I talk about. You know, there's 12,500 registered lobbyists in a 68.5 square mile area of Washington, D.C. That's over 160 lobbyists per square mile. These are the jaw-dropping statistics that we talk about in Preserving Liberty. So, folks, you can go and check it out. You can pre-order it right now, Preserving Liberty, Bold and Brave Solutions to Save America and Create Permanent Freedom on Amazon.
A lot of interesting stuff in there for sure, and a lot of great steps that we can start taking. There is a lot of things that we can do to try and preserve our liberty and be able to move forward, and we're at that teetering point. We're in that historical moment right now, as I said earlier in the program. Josh Bernstein, go and check out the book, Preserving Liberty. Josh, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. Let's do it again real soon.
Thank you. Anytime, any topic.
Absolutely. Appreciate it very much. Got to take a break. One more segment right around the corner here. Andy Hoosier filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in here. One segment left. Thanks again to Josh Bernstein coming on the show. Interesting information. Great ways. I think that we need to attack this administrative state, this deep state, this big government mindset. We need to attack it on different fronts, which is why any idea, I think, is a great idea. When you got Donald Trump out there that talks about getting rid of certain agencies like the Department of Education. Why the heck not? Why wouldn't we do that? By the way, as we were talking about books and books that would help during election season, and this is not a joke, I literally just at home, I just finished reading Todd's book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. I just finished that a couple of days ago, and I got mine a few months back when he was on his book tour, and he came out here to Wichita, Kansas, and here at KQAM, my flagship station here in Wichita, that's our great affiliate for the Todd Starnes radio show. He came out here, he spoke at an event, we hosted him while he did his program here for a couple of days, and I got my signed book from Todd, and I've been reading through it little by little. Obviously, with a busy schedule, it's hard to read a lot. But I do what I can, and I finally just finished it, and it was amazing. And again, if you want to get the feel goods and get that patriotism and understand what we're fighting for, then we need to read those types of things. Because sometimes you get so lost in the fight that you forget what you're actually fighting for. Sometimes we get so tied up in the anger and the headlines of the day and the frustrations and the banging our head against the wall. Look, how can you debate with someone that we just played that audio clip of in that last segment? How can you debate or have a conversation with these individuals?
Why do you like her?
Because she will be a good female president, and I would love to have a good female president for the U.S.
And what do you think she'll do good for our country?
She'll actually help our country more than Donald Trump would do. Because she is smart and she's more reliable.
And what do you think are some
We're just saying words. She's smart and reliable. Okay, is there anything to prove that? Well, she's smart and reliable, and Donald Trump started World War III. I mean, they just say things. There's this words coming out of their mouth, and they just try to fill the airtime, and it makes no sense whatsoever. I don't know how you dialogue with individuals. Look, I am all about having conversation. I'm all about having debate. I love debate. I did debate in high school. My senior year of high school, the 1 year I did debate, I ended up finishing 10th in a state tournament for high school in the state of Colorado. I was so proud of it, which led me to go on to radio because I figured that this was a lot more fun. Before that, I wanted to go into physics and be an astronomer and work for NASA. And then I learned about politics and arguing, and it was a lot more fun, baby. That was so much easier to do than trying to memorize physics and the constellations and everything of the sort. I couldn't do that a whole lot. But I love debate and conversation, and I can have a friend that's on the other side of the aisle, and we can spar, and we can go at it, and we can have fun, and we can actually challenge each other in a healthy way. Because in my opinion, if you just live in your echo chamber and you just hear the same rhetorical conversations from the same people that agree with you, then you're not challenging yourself. It's kind of like that muscle if you're into health and fitness and exercising, that your muscle fatigues if you don't use it, right? And if you're living in an echo chamber, then how do you know that it's working against the opposition? I'm all about challenging the opposition and having a fun conversation and being able to pat each other on the back and have an adult beverage when we're all done. But that mindset doesn't allow that. That mindset, she's smart and she's reliable, and Donald Trump started World War III, and she's going to lower my income, and that's a good thing. What are we talking about here? This administrative state, I think, is what led to a lot of that. And that's why we're seeing right now this fight for the longest time under especially Barack Obama, when they had a dominance in the Supreme Court. They loved what the Supreme Court was doing. Obviously, it's the third branch of government. You're not allowed to challenge them. What they say goes, and you just have to accept it. Obviously, they held up Obamacare multiple times. You just have to live with it, or else you are the problem that's a threat to democracy. Now, on this front, we see the other side of it, where the Supreme Court makes interesting decisions and they say, no, you're not allowed to stand that way. And if that's the case, then we have to dismantle the Supreme Court. We have to stack the Supreme Court. We have to do whatever it takes to stop them from making these decisions, because they're not allowed to make these decisions, because now Donald Trump is horrible by putting people on there with an agenda to reverse Roe v. Wade or whatever else that they have as their mindset, with like the Supreme Court coming out recently and reversing their decision on Title IX. That makes them lose their minds. Now, of course, they're going to use that as a campaign strategy, but that's going to make them lose their minds over the fact that the courts didn't side with them. And now we have, just like our last guest, Josh, talked about with the FISA courts, the administrative courts. Did you know that there are court systems in the fourth branch, the bureaucratic agencies, that are specifically for them? These admin courts that are for the Environmental Protection Agency, that are for the Department of Education, that are for the Department of whatever, fill in the blank ABC alphabet soup letter. And that if that agency comes after you as an individual or a business and says you're violating their federal codes or their regulations, that you go to their own court that's run by them in that agency. And then they're like, haha, well, yeah, obviously you broke the law. And that's why you can never actually fight against these individuals, because they have the dominance in the system. It's an insane world. And we have to start pushing back against that with the true transparency. And that's what they don't want. And you can see the evidence of the lack of transparency with a candidate that doesn't even have a platform, because she doesn't want to tell you what she's actually standing for. They don't want to tell you what they stand for, so you have to kind of pass them to see what's in them, kind of thing, as Nancy Pelosi says. Thank you, Todd Starnes. Thank you, team Grace and Dylan and everybody on the KWAM team allowing me to be able to fill in. As always, absolutely love you guys. Always appreciate the opportunity. I'm Andy Hoosier again, the Todd Starnes radio program. Back at it again tomorrow. Todd Starnes on his Newsmax TV show this afternoon. Until then, everybody have a great post-Monday celebration. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.